ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीमेधादक्षिणामूर्तिपरब्रह्मणे सो द सेकेण्ड् चाप्टर् आफ् दि वेदान्तसार बिगिन्स् वित् दि adhyaropah. What is adhyaropah? When he says adhyaropah, there'll be interest to know what adhyaropah. It's explained seeing one thing in another thing is adhyaropah. So mistaking the vastu, mistaking avastu for vastu is adhyaropah. Like what? Like mistaking the rope for the snake, mistaking the non-real thing for the reality is adhyaropaha, it is said. They will be understanding this very clearly in the future, I mean in the following lessons. So that was, which means what is vastu? If we say vastu is that which is That which alone is vastu. So vastu is the word used to mean a reality. Literal language, vastu means any porul. Any object also can be said to be vastu. Anything, any one given thing can be said to be vastu. But here vastu means that which alone is vastu. The word used to mean reality. Therefore, vastuni avastu aropaha adhyaropaha, it was said. That is, taking avastu for the vastu adhyaropaha. Therefore, the question comes, okay, what is vastu then? So, what is avastu? What is it avastu? Which is mistaken for vastu. Then what is vastu? So it also explained the 33rd sentence. Vastu is satchit anandam advayam brahma. Vastu is the absolute reality implied by the word Brahman and which is of the nature of the consciousness, existence and limitlessness. And other than that Brahma is what now? Ajnanadi sakala jada samuhaha avastu. Whatever is there is what? Ignorance is avastu. And ignorance caused universe also is what? Avastu. And what is the nature of ignorance and ignorance caused universe? Inertness. Therefore, the totality of objects which constitute the universe, which is the product of this ajnanam, is avastu. So ajnanam is also avastu. So cause is the avastu. The cause of the universe is avastu. And the universe, the effect of the ajnanam is also avastu. So avastu means which is not real. Therefore, ajnana adi sakala jada samuhaha avastu means everything and anything other than Brahman is avastu. Avastu means non-reality. It is not unreal but non-real. Non-real means what now? Mithya. Which is not real actually. He says, ajnanam is avastu. And ajnanam, which is of the nature of inertness, is avastu. And sakala jada samuhaha avastu. So the collection, the totality of all the inert objects which constitute the whole universe, which is the product of this ajnanam, which is also what? Avastu. Why? If the cause is not real, effect also cannot be real. So cause and the effect being mithya, which is being avastu, is mentioned in the 33rd sentence. Okay. Then we saw the definition of avastu, ajnanam. So what is ajnanam? I told you. Here, ajnanam is another word for prakritihi, the matter. And why the word ajnanam is used here? Because the word prakritihi is used by Sankhya philosophers. And there, the word prakritihi is taken to be the reality. And whereas for us, for a Sankhya philosopher, the prakritihi, the matter is real. Whereas for a Vedanti, matter is not real. It is not unreal, but it is not real also. Therefore, instead of using the word prakritihi, and this teacher here uses the word ajnanam. So ajnanam here, don't take it for ignorance alone. Ignorance is the nature of the matter. The word ajnanam implies the matter in terms of its nature of inertness. We ask why the reality is implied by the term Brahma? Because reality is implied by the term Brahma in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Similarly, ajnanam also implies what? The word implying the matter in terms of its nature of inertness. Okay. And this matter implied by the term ajnanam due to its nature of inertness. What is this here? He says, sat asadbhyam anirvachaniyam. So nirvachaniyam means definable, that which can be defined. Anirvachaniya means that which cannot be defined. So non-definable as reality or unreal, that which cannot be defined as real, that which cannot be defined as unreal. Therefore, that which is in between, neither real nor unreal, which means it is mithya. And I explained very clearly last class, real means that which is always, is sat. But is ajnanam is not always. Second thing, it has no independent existence. That which has independent existence is real. That which has dependent existence is mithya. And that which does not exist at all is unreal. So this matter, implied by the word ajnanam, in terms of its nature of inertness, is neither real because it has dependent, it has no independent existence. It is not unreal because it is not non-existent, but it is mithya, in between. Therefore, it cannot be said to be real or unreal. And this matter is of the nature, it has three gunas. And this is jnana virodhi. Jnana virodhi means opposed to knowledge. And bhava rupam, it does exist. It has existence. And how do we say, yat kinchidati vadanti aham? Please keep the mind. Would you mind keeping the window open? So sure. Warm.
Yeah.
So warm. So, how do we know what is the proof for ignorance? What is the proof for ignorance? There is ignorance. There is ignorance. What is the proof? Suppose, what is the proof? Suppose if it, do you know Tamil? It naturally will say, what I don't know. How do you say, you don't know? That is what I say. The proof is, Sakshi is available for experience. Ignorance is available for experience. That is the proof. Available for the experience of whose experience is available? Available for the experience of the witness. Sakshi anubhavaha. Sakshi pratyaksham. Ignorance is available for the experience of the witness, which means sakshi pratyaksham. And suddenly if you say, I don't know Tamil, I don't know French, I don't know this, which means available for experience. Therefore it is, that's the proof. Therefore it is bhava rupam. Aham ajnaha ityadi anubhavat. I do not know. Such experiences are there. Therefore it is very much there. And this is another Shruti sentence is quoted from Shvetavatara Upanishad, is quoted here. Devatma Shaktihi. This ajnanam, this matter implied by the term ajnanam, also what now known as Devatma Shaktihi. Devatma Shaktihi is another word for Prakriti, the matter. And so Gunaihi Nigudha, which is hidden with its own gunas. That's the Shruti quotation is given just to as a proof to say that there is Ajnanam. Okay. I had to see the new sentence today. 35th sentence we have to read today. Idam Ajnanam Samashti Vyashti Abhiprayena Anekam Iticha Vyavahriyate. Idam Ajnanam. This Ajnanam Samashti Vyashti Abhiprayena Anekam Iticha Vyavahriyate. Vyavahriyate means what? It is also said to be many. Because of what? Because of the experience of total and individual, experience of the Samashti and Vyashti. Because of the experience of the experience such as singular and plural, etc., is this matter also said to be many? The example is given here in the following mantra, following statement. Tathahi yatha vrikshanam samashti abhiprayena vanam iti ekatva yapadeshah. He gives example of trees. When many trees put together or seen together in one place, totally all the trees seen together in one place, together known by one term as vanam. In the same way, yathava jalanam samashti abhiprayena. The water in its totality seen together in one big place is called what? Reservoir of water, jalashayaha iti. In the same way, nanatvena pratibhasamananam jivagatanam samashti abhiprayena tadi ekatva vyapadeshah. For this ignorance or matter obtaining in half ignorance in all the minds, in all the jivas, in the minds together, just as if you see the one tree as tree, you call it a tree. If all the trees together, if you see, you call it a vanam. The same way, what is samashti abhiprayena, when you look at this ignorance obtaining in all the individual minds together, they can be said known by one term, ajnanam. Really speaking, it's not many, one alone, but you can see it as obtaining in many jivas, you can see it as many, or it's actually one. Last class we saw, Iyam samashtihi utkrishta upadhitaya vishuddha sattva pradhana. Okay, now what, let me tell you here, I introduced last class, the prakritihi is of three types. Vishuddha sattva pradhana prakritihi or shuddha sattva pradhana prakritihi. Then malina sattva pradhana prakritihi. Then prakritihi. Otherwise, you can say the prakriti which is predominantly sattvic is called maya. The prakriti which is predominantly rajasic is called avidya. And the prakriti which is predominantly tamasic is called prakriti. I didn't want to use the term maya, but still I want to tell you, make it very clear. Vishuddha sattva pradhana prakritihi is equal to the matter which is predominantly sattvic is equal to maya. Then you can say avishuddha sattva pradhana or malina sattva pradhana prakritihi. Can you say avishuddha or ashuddha sattva pradhana prakritihi or malina sattva pradhana prakritihi is called avidya, which is predominantly rajasic. Then prakritihi is tamav pradhana prakritihi. So the prakriti which is predominantly tamasic is called prakritihi. So maya is matter. Maya is ajnanam, avidya is ajnanam, prakriti is also ajnanam. It means all the three are matter only, but they differ in the predominance of the guna. That's all. This much remember now, it is enough. I'm going to make it very clear what is maya, what is avidya, what is prakriti, everything will become clearer later on. This, it's all, until now, it's all old lessons. Now today we are entering into the new lesson. In this 38th statement, Vedanta Sara teacher introduces Ishwaraha. We understand all the time confusion comes. What is Ishwaraha? Who is Ishwaraha? Because we always think of Ishwaraha, no, means the Lord. Is there somebody called Lord? Is there something called Ishwaraha? The question comes, definitely Ishwaraha is there, and which is a fact, which is a concept to be understood. And what is Ishwaraha? It is made very clear. Memorize this definition of Ishwara. Okay. Etad. You want to read out to me? Etad. Upahitam chaitanyam. Etad. Upahitam chaitanyam. Upahitam chaitanyam. Ishwaraha. Is that mentioned there? I'm just adding the words Ishwara. Upahetad upahitam chaitanyam Ishwaraha. The word yetad means, yetad stands for Vishuddhatva Pradhana Prakritihi. Vishuddhatva Pradhana Prakritihi is called what? Utkrishta Upadhihi. Utkrishta means exalted. Nikrishta means inferior. Nikrishta upadhi means inferior upadhi. Utkrishta upadhi means superior upadhi. So sattva pradhana prakritihi is what? Superior upadhi. And inferior maya is utkrishta upadhi, superior upadhi. Why? Because it is vishuddhatva pradhana, predominantly sattvic. Whereas avidya is nikrishta upadhi. It is inferior upadhi because it is predominantly rajasic. Malina sattva pradhana prakritihi. And here, Yetat upahitam chaitanyam means, yetat stands for, yetat means this. And here the word this implies Vishuddha Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi, and which is the Utkrishta Upadhihi, the superior Upadhihi. And upahitam chaitanyam means what? Chaitanyam means consciousness. Upahitam means what? Manifest or obtaining in, associated with the consciousness, obtaining in or associated with this superior upadhihi, Vishuddhatva Pradhana Utkrishta Upadhihi, others called Maya, is called what? Ishwaraha. So consciousness by itself is not Ishwara. The consciousness is consciousness, and it is of the nature of existence and limitlessness, implied by the term Brahma. So consciousness is not Ishwaraha. Chaitanyam is not Ishwaraha. But who is Ishwara? Ishwaraha is definitely consciousness, but associated with Maya, obtaining in Maya, manifest in Maya. Consciousness manifest in Maya, associated with Maya, alone is given the title Ishwaraha. The consciousness by itself without the Maya Upadhi cannot be called Ishwaraha. Ishwara is consciousness with Maya, manifest in Maya, but consciousness by itself without the Maya Upadhi cannot be called Ishwara. For Ishwara is, now you know what it is. Yetad upahitam chaitanyam means, in the place of yetad, you can say utkrishta upadhihi ఉత్కృష్ట ఉపాధి విశుధత్వ ప్రధాన మాయా ఉపహితం చైతన్యం ఇస్ ఈక్వల్ టు ఈశ్వర. యు కెన్ రైట్ డౌన్ నౌ. యాక్చువల్లీ ఉత్కృష్ట ఉపాధి విశుద్ధత్వ ప్రధాన మాయా ఉపహితం చైతన్యం ఇస్ ఈక్వల్ టు ఈశ్వర. సో ఈశ్వర ఇస్ అ స్టేటస్ అట్రిబ్యూటెడ్ టు కాన్షియస్నెస్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ ఇన్ అప్టైనింగ్ ఇన్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ప్రిడామినెంట్లీ సాత్విక్ మ్యాటర్ దిస్ ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ ఉపాధి నోన్ యాజ్ మాయా అండ్ నోన్ బై ద టర్మ్ మాయా ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ఈశ్వర. ఓకే అండ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ బికాస్ ఉత్కృష్ట ఉపాధి ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ ఉపాధి సో ఉపాధి వాట్ ఇస్ ఉపాధి యు ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు సీ ద డెఫినేషన్ లేటర్ ఆన్ బట్ నౌ ఐ వాంట్ టు టెల్ యూ ఉపాధి ఈస్ ది మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ మీడియం. వై ది మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ మీడియం ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ఉపాధి దాట్ మీనింగ్ విల్ సీ లేటర్ ఆన్ నౌ యు అండర్స్టాండ్ ఉపాధి మీన్స్ మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ మీడియం. Just as every opaque thing serves as a reflecting medium for the light, so also every inert material object serves as a manifesting medium for consciousness. And here especially the mind. And we can say Maya in general. Therefore, the Maya, Maya is what? Maya is matter. And what is that Maya matter? It's a Utkushta Upadhi, exalted Upadhi. Why it is superior Upadhi? Because it is predominantly Sattvic. Predominantly Sattvic, even though it is inert, but because of its predominance of sattva, it is capable of manifesting consciousness. This is therefore is called manifesting medium. Upadhi means manifesting medium. Over here for consciousness. So this consciousness manifesting, obtaining in, associated with superior upadhi, utkrishta upadhi, which is predominantly sattvic, otherwise called maya, is what has the Ishvara status. Therefore, and what is the Ishvara? Again, is defined later on. Now you can easily say, Maya Upahitam Chaitanyam is equal to Ishvara. Is the definition of Ishvara. Which means, Maya Upahitam Chaitanyam is Ishvara. Maya Anupahitam, Maya Rahitam Chaitanyam is Brahma. Consciousness minus Maya is Brahma. Consciousness plus Maya is Ishvara. Okay. Now let us see the next sentence. Sarvajna. Sarvajna. Sarveshwaratva. Sarveshwaratva. Sarvaniyantritva. Sarvaniyantritvadi. Sarvajna. సర్వేశ్వరత్వ సర్వజ్ఞత్వ సర్వజ్ఞత్వ సర్వేశ్వరత్వ సర్వనియంతృత్వాది గుణ కర్మ గుణకమ గుణకం అండ్ గుణ సారీ నాట్ గుణకర్మ గుణకం స్పెల్లింగ్ మిస్టేక్ ఇన్ మై బుక్ సారీ సర్వజ్ఞత్వ సర్వేశ్వరత్వ sarva niyantritvadi gunakam. This is number one aspect. Sarvajnyatva, sarveshwaratva, sarva niyantritvadi gunakam. Then avyaktam, antaryami, jagatkaranam, ishvaraha, iti cha vyapadishyate. Now beautifully ishvaraha is defined here. Already told you, who is ishvaraha? What is ishvaraha? First we say, ishvaraha is jagatkaranam. Jagatkaranam is what? The cause of the universe is ishvaraha. The cause of the universe is ishvaraha. Okay. And that cause of the universe is also called antaryami. So cause of the universe is ishvara. Then antaryami is ishvara. Antaryami, why you say antaryami? Because that antaryami, or that in which everything remains resolved. Ishvara means that in which everything remains resolved is called antaryami. Ishvara is that in which everything remains resolved. Just as cause of the universe is Ishvara, and in that Ishvara, the cause, Ishvara is the karanam. In that karanam alone, jagat remains resolved. Suppose where are the waves? All the waves remain resolved where? Before they originate from the cause, where do the waves exist? All the waves exist in the cause, the water, before the origination. But when they remain in the water, how do they remain? They remain resolved. Therefore, in the same way, in this jagat karanam, Ishvaraha, in this cause of the universe, otherwise called Ishvara, entire universe remains resolved. Therefore, antaryami, Ishvara is called antaryami, because the one in whom, that in which the entire cosmos remains resolved. Okay. Which means the universe cannot go anywhere else other than Ishvara. Why? Ishvara is the cause of the universe. For antaryami. But when this universe remains resolved in the its cause, the Ishvara, how is the universe? It is avyaktam. So avyakta means unmanifest. I'm going backwards, okay? I started with Ishvaraha jagat karanam. Then Ishvaraha antaryami. You say Ishvaraha avyaktam. Avyaktam means what? Avyakta means unmanifest. Why Ishvara is called unmanifest? Because Ishvara, in whom the entire universe remains unmanifest, therefore, when the universe remains resolved, the universe remains unmanifest. Unmanifest means what? Not available for transactions, not available for interaction, not available for perception, not available for experience. Avyakta means the cause of the universe and its cause are inseparably remain as one. Then there is no interaction or transaction or experience or perception of the universe is possible. Therefore, it's called avyaktam. Ishvaraha himsa, Ishvara itself is called avyaktam. Unmanifest universe is nothing but Ishvaraha. Antaryami, the one in whom everything, the entire universe remains resolved, is Ishvaraha. The cause of the universe is Ishvaraha. Avyaktam Ishvaraha. Antaryami Ishvaraha. Jagat Karanam Ishvaraha. Okay. And that Ishvara also is said to be what now? Gunakam. Gunakaha. What guna, what is the, what all the features? Gunakaha means Ishvara is, Ishvara has all these features. What are, the Ishvara is the one who has these features. What is Sarvajnyatvam, Sarva Ishvaratvam, Sarva Niyantratvam, Adi? You can add Sarva Shaktimatvam. Adi means etc. There are some features which constitute, you know, Ishvara is endowed with. Sarvajnyatva means omniscience. Sarva Ishvartvam, overlordship. Then Sarva Niyantritvam. Sarva Ishvartvam. Then Sarva Niyantritvam. Niyantritvam means Ishvara enjoys the status of being the ordainer of everything, the controller of everything, Sarva Niyantritvam. You can include one more word, Sarva Shaktimatvam, omnipotence. Therefore, Ishvara enjoys the status of being the omniscient, the Lord, and all controlling, all ordaining, and you can say omnipotence. Angel status of being the omnipotent. And these are all the features. So Sarvajnyatva, Sarveshwaratva, Sarva Niyantrutva. Instead of Adi, you can add the word Sarva Shaktimatvadi, Sarva Shaktimatva Gunakam. This is Ishvara. So Ishvara is the one who is endowed with these features. Or you can say virtues. Ishvara enjoys, is the one who is endowed with all these virtues. Omniscience, omnipotence, all ordaining, etc. are the virtues of Ishvara. Okay. And who is that Ishvara? We understood Ishvara is the cause of the universe. Ishvara, being the cause of the universe, is the one in whom everything remains resolved. Ishvara is the one in obtaining of the unmanifest universe, because being the cause of the universe, having the entire cosmos resolved in oneself, the entire universe, the unmanifest universe is Ishvara. Universe unmanifest is another than its cause, which is Ishvara. And that Ishvara has also has these virtues. What are the virtues? Gunakaha means one who endowed with these gunas, the virtues. What are the gunas? Sarvajnyatvam. Ishvara is the Sarvajnya, Sarveshwaraha, Sarvaniyanta. Enjoys the virtues in terms of omniscience, omnipotence, all ordaining, etc., all omnipotence. And what is it, Ishvara? We understood. We understood everything. Finally, he says, consciousness. Ishvara is consciousness? No, not pure consciousness. Consciousness obtaining in or manifest in Maya. What is Maya? Prakriti. Which Prakriti? Vishuddha Sattva Pradhana. So what? Because it is the Utkrushta Upadhi. So Maya, predominantly Sattvic matter, and which is the superior, exalted, manifesting medium, Upadhi. So consciousness associated with Upadhi Maya alone has these virtues. Virtue of being Sarvajna, virtue of being Sarveshwaraha, virtue of being Sarvanayanta, virtue of being Sarvashaktiman, and this Ishvara is what? Avyaktam, unmanifest universe is Ishvara. Universe is Ishvara. And that therefore Ishvara is called Antaryami. Jagat Karanam Ishvaraha. Iticha Vyapadishyate. Vyapadishyate means is clearly revealed, said. Why? Because sakala ajnana avabhasakatvat. Sakala ajnana avabhasakatvat. This consciousness associated with Maya is said to be Ishvara because sakala ajnana avabhasakatvat. Avabhasakam means because Ishvara reveals, brings to light this entire inert universe. Ajnanam in the second sentence means universe. Sakala ajnana avabhasakatvat, because Ishvara is the revealer of the entire material universe. The one who brings to light the entire universe, or because of whose illumination the entire universe shines. Sakala ajnana avabhasakam means that which illumines, brings to light the entire inert material universe. The one who is shining in the form of the inert material universe. Just as light alone shines in the form of all the varieties of inert, opaque things, it is the consciousness which alone is shining in the form of the entire inert material world of objects. Therefore, Ishvara, and to make it very clear, and this Acharya quotes a sentence from Mundaka Upanishad. Yes, Sarvajna Sarvavit Iti Shrutehe. Very, very simple and beautiful quotation. You all can memorize. Yes, Sarvajna Sarvavit. Yes, Sarvajna Sarvavit. This is the mantra from Mundaka Upanishad, the first Mundaka, first chapter, first section, ninth mantra. This Ishvara is discussed there. Topic of Ishvara is discussed, and there the mantra comes. Yes, Sarvajnaha Sarvavit. Sarvajnaha means omniscient. Sarvavit also means omniscient. The difference is, Sarvajnaha means one who knows the reality, that which the truth, the origin of all knowledge. And the Sarvavit means the one who has knowledge of everything in detail. The detailed knowledge of everything. And Ishvara has Sarvavit Sarvajnaha. Therefore, Ishra is very beautifully defined here. Hereafter, nobody should have any doubt about Ishwaraha. Cause of the universe is Ishwara. The one in whom the entire universe remains resolved is Ishwara. Therefore called Antaryami. The universe, when it is not manifest, it is Ishwaraha. Avyaktam. And this Ishwara, obtaining in the unmanifest universe, the one in whom every universe is resolved, is endowed, is said to be endowed with the virtues such as omniscience, omnipotence, etc. This universe is another than consciousness associated with the matter, the exalted form of matter called Maya, which is a manifesting medium. Any doubts here? Because the Ishvara is very beautifully defined. Any doubts in Ishvara? Very clear? All the words, I request you to memorize this. Wherever I tell you to memorize, you have to memorize. This is the most beautiful, complete definition of Ishvara. So I want you to memorize this definition in Sanskritam itself. You better read it once again. So when you say Yetad, you have to write it very clearly. The word Yetad in that definition means Maya. And Maya is what? Vishuddha Hatva Pradhana. And that is Utkrishta Upadhi. Okay? Say now. Yetadupahitam Chaitanyam. Sarvajnyatva, Sarveshwaratva, Sarvanayantrutvadi Gunakam, Avyaktam, Antaryami, Jagatkaranam, Ishwaraha, Iticha Vyapadishyate, Sakala Ajnana, Avabhasakatvat. This much is the definition of Ishwara. Let us quote next mantra now. Samashti Ishvarasyeyam Ishvarasya Iyam. You have to split the sentence correctly. Ishvarasya Iyam Samashtihi. Ishvarasya Iyam Samashtihi. Akhila Karanatvat. Okay. Ishwarasya Iyam Samashtihi. So Iyam Samashtihi means this Samashtihi here means Maya. Iyam Samashtihi means this total Upadhi. This total Upadhi, otherwise called Maya, is what now? Ishwarasya. Akhila Karanatvat. Akhila Karanatvat. Because it's Maya, Ishwara's Maya. Akhila Karanatvat. Due to the status of being the cause of everything. Karana Shariram. Ananda Prachuratvat. Karana Shariram. Ananda Prachuratvat. Koshavat. Achadakatvat. Cha Anandamaya Koshaha. Sarva Uparamatvat. Sushuptihi. Atayeva stula sukshma prapancha layasthanam iticha uchyate. Okay. Now he says, the same Maya, the same Ishvara, Yam Samashtihi, Ishvarasya Yam Samashtihi, Akhila Karanatvat. Because it is the cause of everything. Say what now? Karana Shariram. Now, he talks about introducing slowly the causal body. Karana Shariram. Okay. What is causal body here? Just as Ishvara with the Maya enjoys the status of being the cause of this entire cosmos, just as the consciousness associated with this Maya, the total Upadhi, enjoys the status of being the Ishvara, the Lord, as the cause of the entire universe, so also there is Karana Shariram. There is also causal body. So Ishvara is called Karana Prapanchaha. Before we enter into the understanding of the meaning of this 39th sentence, please understand this much. Then I'll make you understand each word in this state sentence correctly later on. Sometimes it is better to understand before we go to the actual text. Now, Ishvaraha, you understood Ishvara very well. Therefore, you can say one more word which is not understood in this, which is not used in the text, is what? Karana Prapanchaha. Karana Prapanchaha is another word for Ishvaraha. Karana Prapanchaha means the universe obtaining in the form of its cause is called Karana Prapanchaha. Universe obtaining in the form of its cause is called Karana Prapanchaha. When the universe remains unmanifest, obtaining in the form of its cause is called Karana Prapanchaha. And that cause itself is what? Ishvara. And who is that cause? Consciousness with it, Maya. Therefore, just as Ishvara, with its samashtihi, with its total exalted upadhi called Maya, enjoys the status of being the cause of the universe, so also, now there is something called Karana Shariram. In this statement, slowly the author introduces the word Karana Shariram. It's a causal body. Hey, what is a causal body? There cannot be too many causes, okay? There's only one cause, only one material cause, which is matter, which is otherwise called only one prakriti. What is this causal body? Karana Shariram is nothing but avidya. Karana Shariram is avidya. This avidya is also what? Matter only. And why do you call avidya a Karana Shariram? See, just as clay is the cause of the pot, okay, so you can say what? Ghata Karanam. Cause of the pot is clay. There really is a cause, isn't it? But avidya is called Karana Shariram, causal body, which means not that body was in the avidya that it became a body. No. Avidya is the cause for the assumption for the body to come into existence. For a jiva, to assume the body, what makes the jiva assume the body? Why does every individual assume the body? Every individual comes back after the death, again is born, assuming another body. Why? It is the ignorance. If ignorance is not there, if the ignorance has been resolved for good, if the mind is, the ignorance in the mind, ignorance of the reality or ignorance of the self is resolved, the mind is a wise mind or enlightened mind, the knowledgeable mind, there is no ignorance of the reality anymore, then that mind will not come back. Mind without, there cannot be a mind without ignorance. If at all there is a mind without ignorance, which means the knowledge of the reality must have happened, must have risen. If the knowledge has risen, if there is a clear vision in the mind, and that mind is what? Wise person's mind. Mind with wisdom cannot come back. The mind will resolve for good. The ignorant mind alone can come back. So the ignorant person's mind comes back assuming another body. Because where there is ignorance, there will be doership, there will be enjoyership, there will be punyam papam, there is agami karma, there is sanchitam karma, therefore this person has to come back to exhaust the paradha karma. That is why ignorance is the root cause of bondage. Why do we say? As long as ignorance is there, there will be identity with the body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, there will be doership and enjoyership. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, notions will be there. I'll go step by step. As long as there is ignorance, there will be identity with the body, mind, sense complex for every individual. As long as there is strong identity with the body, mind, sense complex, there will be doership and enjoyership. There will be the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. As long as these notions are entertained, that I am the enjoyer, I am the doer, one will definitely have punyam and papam. As long as one has punya papas, one will have sanchitam karma. As long as one has sanchitam karma, one has to, what now? One has paradha karma. Because the paradha karma is there, to exhaust the paradha karma, one has to be born. While exhausting the paradha, one will choicelessly accumulate agami karma. Therefore, what is that which makes one come back into this world assuming a new body? Ignorance, avidya. Okay, it is the avidya because of which alone one comes back into this universe assuming another body. If ignorance is resolved, how can ignorance be resolved? In the wake of the knowledge. If knowledge takes place, then ignorance will be resolved. If ignorance is resolved, then the mind cannot survive. Only paradha is exhausted, again mind will be resolved for good. Once the mind is not there, There's no more coming back. So, the cause for assuming another physical body, the mind must be there. Only then mind can assume another gross body and be born again. Assumption, the gross physical body cannot come suddenly by itself without the mind. The body is only what? We learned Tattvabodha also. Bhogayatanam, an abode of enjoyment. The mind is what? Instrument of enjoyment. The instrument of enjoyment can be functional, can come, function only in an abode of enjoyment. It must be there. Without the instrument of enjoyment, abode of enjoyment has no meaning, isn't it? Meaningless. Therefore, the gross body only is born. The birth of the gross body, assumption of another gross body is possible only if there is mind alive. The mind will be alive as long as ignorance is there. Therefore, ignorance, this avidya, is said to be what? Karana shariram. That which causes the assumption of the gross body. Without which, as mind cannot survive. Without the survival of the mind, assumption of the gross body, assuming the gross body, is not possible. Therefore, the gross body cannot be born. Wherever the gross body is born, there is a mind behind it. If it's a human body. Okay, therefore it's called what? Karana Shariram. And what is this Karana Shariram? Avidya. What is avidya? Avidya is also matter. Is outside of Ishvara? No. Why? Ishvara is the cause of everything. Therefore, just as there is a Karana, Jagat Karanam Ishvaraha, there is Jeeva, there is also Karana Shariram. Ishvara is Karana Prapanchaha and Karana Prapanchaha Ishvaraha means Chaitanyam with Maya is Karana Prapanchaha, but Avidya is Karana Shariram. And here, the Karana Shariram, how to understand this avidya? Before we go to the actual text, let me make it very clear. Avidya is also what? This is a total ignorance. Avidya is total ignorance. Total ignorance means how is avidya? How is this avidya? I'm not reading the text now. Let me make it all these things very clear, then I'll take you there. So, avidya has to be understood through the model of your own sleep. There's no way of understanding maya and also avidya. No way. You understand through the sleep. Whenever you fall asleep, in deep sleep state, what you experience is the object of experience. Obtaining in deep sleep state is avidya. In sleep, there is no, you do not know you are. You do not know what you are. You cannot know what you are. You do not know what the universe is. So this not knowing the existence of one's own self, not knowing the existence of the world, not having any experience, it may not having the experience of the world or the self, There is neither self-experience in terms of I am, neither experience of the world in terms of the world is. It's called what? Experiencelessness of the self and the world in terms of I am and in terms of the world is. It's called what? The avidya. But that experience of the experiencelessness of the self and the world in terms of I am, the world is avidya. Even though you cannot talk about avidya when you're asleep, on waking up from sleep, you can always talk about it, which means you can never talk about something which you have not experienced. Therefore, avidya is, that's why already we saw what? It's available for experience. Aham ajnaha. What is the proof that avidya is? The proof is it's available for experience. And when this avidya is there any pain? Is there any desire? Is there any anger? When there is avidya, there is no anger, there is no pain, there is no sorrow, there is no grief, there is no disturbance, there is neither experience of pleasure, nor is there experience of pain. Well, because there is neither experiencer status, nor is there experience to object world, objective world. Therefore, there is neither pain nor pleasure. And that is called is what? Anandaha. It's called bliss. So, absence of, you can say, the experiencelessness of self-existence and the world existence is called avidya, and experiencelessness of pain and pleasure is called bliss. Experiencelessness of the existence of the self and the existence of the world is equal to avidya. Experiencelessness of the pain and pleasure is called bliss. And there is experience of this experiencelessness, which is called a deep sleep state. You know what is bliss? What is avidya? Therefore, and whenever you have this, avidya is also called anandamaya koshaha. This avidya is otherwise called anandamaya koshaha. Why is called anandamaya koshaha? Because there is experience of bliss. Experience of bliss means what? Experiencelessness of pain and pleasure is what? Experience of bliss. Therefore, it is called anandamaya koshaha. Why it is called koshaha? Because this avidya is identified with the jiva, identifies itself with the avidya. Because of its identity with the avidya, this state of mind obtaining in deep sleep state Jiva Swarupam is as though hidden. The Jiva Swarupam is as though hidden. Why I use the term as though hidden? Jiva Swarupam, the truth of the Jiva. Truth of the Jiva means what? The truth of I, the truth of the experiencer, the reality of the experiencer, Swarupam of the experiencer, essential nature of the experiencer, obtaining in deep sleep state can never be hidden. See, assuming that you all know so much, I'm using the term Jiva. People who are very, very new to the class, don't get confused, don't lose your hearts. It become very clear. Jiva Swarupam, Swarupam of the experiencer, Swarupam of the I, essential nature of the I, essential nature of Jiva, all mean the same. Truth of the Jiva, all mean the same. So, the Swarupam or the essential nature of the experiencer I, obtaining in deep sleep state, is identified with avidya, obtaining in the state of mind. Therefore, Jiva Swarupam is as though covered. Therefore, this avidya, which is where one can experience the bliss, is also what? Called Anandamaya Koshaha. Why is called Kosha? Because avidya, because of the avidya, Jiva Swarupam is as though covered because of the identity with this avidya. Therefore, it's called Anandamaya Koshaha. Koshaha means a cover. You can say Anandaha, that's all. Ananda, that's all means happiness here, the bliss. And this avidya is called what? Karana Shariram. So avidya is Karana Shariram and Ishvara is Karana Prapanchaha. So Ishvara is causal universe, avidya is causal body. But Ishvara, we don't say Jiva is Karana Shariram, okay? Avidya by itself is causal body. But Ishvara is what? Karana Sharir, Karana Prapanchaha means consciousness with Maya Upadhi is Ishvara. But Avidya itself is what? A causal body for the Jiva. Cause for the Jivas assuming another body. If Avidya is not there, mind cannot exist. Mind will not exist. When the mind is not there, then who will come back and assume another body? This is an amazing fact which only Vedanta doubtlessly very clearly states. This is where people struggle. There are lots of confusions about the rebirth. Is there a rebirth? Is rebirth possible? And Hindus talk about the rebirth. And many other cultures do not accept rebirth at all. So rebirth means what? What is that which is born again? Definitely it is very clear, Jiva Swarupam. You know, of course, you know very well, Jiva is also none other than a pure consciousness. So Jiva, as Jiva, a Swarupa of the Jiva being consciousness implied by the word Atma. Atma has no first birth. Atma is never born, anadi. Atma has no birth. Atma has no death. Atma doesn't undergo any changes. So Atma, we don't need to worry about the Atma's moksha. Because moksha is Atma Swarupam. Who is bound and who wants freedom? Who seeks freedom? So physical body, of course, the gross physical body has birth, undergoes changes, goes through sixfold modifications, and finally it becomes disintegrated. And the body becoming disintegrated, getting disintegrated is called what? In fact, it is something only relative destruction. Body will continue to exist in the form of five elements. It came from elements, it go back to elements. It came from soil, it go back to soil. It was chemicals before, it continued to be in the form of chemicals. There'll be, but the same form will collapse, shape will collapse. There'll be disintegration on the part of the body. That's also natural, inevitable. Then what do we mean by rebirth? I tell you, the mind, as long as mind is, so long will there be jiva status. And as long as the mind is, the mind, when the prarabdha is exhausted, the mind will leave the physical body. And the departure of the mind from the physical body is called what? A death. When the mind departs, all other subtle aspects also depart along with the mind. So you can say the entire subtle body, mainly mind, okay, depart is called death. When the mind leaves, the entire subtle body, all the subtle aspects leave. Therefore, departure of subtle body from the gross body is the death. And who determines this death? Who determines the departure of subtle body from the gross body? Prarabdha karma phalam. The prarabdha determines. The prarabdha comes to an end. The new set of prarabdha from the kanchitam has to begin in between until your karmas get ready for fructification. You are given a break, temporary moksha. Leave the physical body. Again, assume another body and come back. And which mind will come back? Mind will survive. This is the most important thing. This is the biggest strength of, you know, nobody can kill the mind, destroy the mind. Mind cannot be destroyed at all. In Bhagavad Gita, we read very clearly, weapons do not cut, cleave. And not only the Atma, the consciousness, mind also cannot be cut, cleaved. Water cannot wet the mind. Fire cannot burn the mind. No, air cannot dry the mind. All the elements and the elementals can only harm the gross body. Even accidents can only kill the physical body, not the mind. Body goes. Body is not usable, in a usable condition. Mind will immediately leave. Mind will look for another house. If some house is dilapidated condition, you look for another decent building to move in. Same way, the body is under usable condition, organs are not proper condition, mind will leave. Nothing will happen to mind. Suppose something happens to the building, the house is not in a good condition to live, lots of repair, you don't want to know, what will you do? You leave the house and look into, you enter into other house. Something happens with the house, something happens to you, you move to other house. So when the house, something happens to the physical body, nothing happens to the mind. It survives. Another body will be there. And who ordains a new body again? Parabdha karma. Parabdha karma makes the mind leave one body and enter into another new body also. Karma organizes this body. Who arranges? And that's why we say order. We call it Ishvara Bhagavan again. Parabdha karma determines the death, departure. Parabdha karma determines the rebirth. Body assumes another, the mind assumes another body in keeping with the Punya Papa it has in its account. It is so the departure of the mind from one body is called death. Now, the mind assuming another body, being born again through the another body is called birth. So who is reborn? Mind. Consciousness is not born, doesn't have birth. So physical body gets disintegrated. So it's rebirth and birth only of the mind. And how long this mind will be born again and again and again and again and again. Punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. How long? As long as the seed of the mind survives. The very root cause of the mind is resolved, mind will disappear. That is called avidya. Okay? As long as ajnanam is there, so long can this mind survive. It's like leaving the root underneath, chop the tree completely, again you see new sprouts will come up. Isn't it? But uproot the very root, then no more sprouts will not come. You will die for good. Similarly, as long as ajnanam is there, mind will survive. And as long as the mind is there, there will be jivatvam, there will be assumption of another body, there will be birth. The mind is resolved for good. When the ignorance is resolved, it's like removing the very root of the tree. Then there can't be any more sprouts. It cannot survive again. So the mind is not there anymore means again there's no way of assuming another body. Therefore, this physical body is here today because there is a mind, a sukshma, and with the mind, ignorance. Once you're born a human being means understand all of us are sailing in the same boat with reference to this one problem. There's no Mahatma Jnani born, okay? There may be people born, highly evolved Mahatma people can be born, but once you're born means definitely there is Ajnanam. Otherwise, there's no way of being born. Some slightest of lack of clarity must be there. Some paradha, they had to be born. Therefore, avidya is called karana shariram. Avidya by itself is called karana shariram. But Maya, having consciousness manifest in itself, is called as Ishvara. So consciousness with the Maya, Shakti, the Maya is called Ishvara. Is it clear now? So Ishvara is Karana Prapancha Ishvara, then Karana Shariram Avidya. Karana Prapancha, Karanam Jagate, Karana Shariram. Understood both very clearly? In Avidya, we don't include consciousness. Whereas in Ishvara, consciousness with Maya Upadhi is Ishvara. I'm sure I made it very clear today. Okay. The next mantra, the next statement, the sentence which talking about the, which we'll see, I'm going to do the text next week. Today I want to make it very clear. Before I enter to the textbook, I wanted to make it very, very clear. So we will read. Yeah, 39th sentence we have to read. We'll read next class. We'll start with the 39th sentence. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.
Good evening, Swamiji. I've got one question.
Yes, Krina.
When the mind dies, which is actually...
Let me unmute you. Others also can listen here.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. Okay, the question is, when the mind dies, which is actually is called moksha?
Yeah, I tell you one thing. When the mind is alive, it means when the alive means what? Even when the mind obtains in the physical body, knowledge has to take place. Moksha is not when the mind is alive, when the mind is dead. As when the ignorance is resolved while living, then there's moksha. Really speaking, moksha is already there. Moksha is actually freedom from unhappiness.
Okay.
Freedom from sorrow is moksha. And the sorrowlessness, happiness, which is the very nature of the jiva, which is already there. So, notionally, there is a bondage. And the notional bondage is there how long? So, attainment of freedom also is in the notion. So, there's no real moksha, there's no real bondage. When ignorance is resolved, while living alone, you have to attain knowledge.
Okay.
Attainment of knowledge after death is not possible. Attainment of knowledge is only when you are alive. Isn't it?
Yes.
Therefore, attain the knowledge means there is moksha.
Okay.
And which you don't attain moksha, you only take ownership of the moksha which is already there as your nature.
Okay.
But still, once we, it's called Jivan Mukti. But once this mind is, after the Parabdha is exhausted, the Jivan Mukta, the liberated person, who is liberated while living, after the Parabdha is exhausted, when the mind leaves, the ignorant person's mind comes back. Then the wise person's mind will not come back. Wise mind will not be there. Then there's no, isn't it? That's called Vidheha Mukti. And that is what actually Ramana Maharshi says, actually is called real death. Death of the Nisattupo, he'll say in Tamil. You die. Die means what? Who does he address? Ni sattupo, you die, he said. Who can die?
Hey,
you can never die. You are never born. So you're not going to die also. Then he says, you meet Ahankara, he says.
Okay.
You go. Ahankara will resolve when? In Jnanam.
Correct.
When Ahankara will resolve, that man will die. The mind has no death. The mind dies. Death of mind is active resolution of the mind is called death of mind. The mind will be resolved for good. The ignorance is resolved.
That's good.
And then that's called Videha Muktihi.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Swami.
Okay.
Good night.